Oh, this is...
As long as it isn't that Chelsea grin, I...
No, this ain't Chelsea grin. This here is House of Pain.
You see, I'm Irish, but I'm not a leprechaun. You want to fight, then step up and we'll get it on. You get a right to the grill. I'm white and I'm ill, a descendant of Dublin with Titanic skill. I ducked and I swing, next thing you just...
Hey, good morning, everybody. Phil Henry here.
This is the House of Pain. I know this one. I've heard you play this one.
Yes, that's great, Margaret.
Yeah, House of Pain.
Don't make me laugh. These Irish eyes are smiling.
Yeah.
The House of Pain is pumping. Start jumping. Freak it, funk it, backseat chunk it. If you can't get with it, you end up sweating it. Then you get a beating just like an egg. It's so hard to run when you got a broken leg. But we can never run off. The House of Pain will come off. We got the cake. We're trying to get a
crumb. By the way, Irish styling. We've been dealing with all kinds of shit here the last 3 or 4 days. Having to do with the Anthony Cumia situation. And with all due respect to Anthony, and I do wish him well. I know that Opie and Jim Norton are continuing that show.
Cut him up and buck him down. No fucking around. Homeboy, you get clown like Krusty. Trust me, you shouldn't play. And by the way,
top of the morning to you.
Oh, so that's the point of this song. Now, this is House of Pain, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they're not even Irish, neither.
No, they're not Irish. They're like Serbians or something.
What are you talking about, man?
I mean, House of Pain is not Irish. These cats are all like Serbian Americans. They're, I mean, they're Americans, but I don't think they're of Irish descent. Who cares?
Well, what is the, what's this group House? Are they supposed to be Irish?
Yeah, you heard them saying top of the morning with all that shillelagh bullshit. Excuse my French. Welcome to the program, folks.
Well, why would they call themselves Irish?
I don't know, Margaret. I mean, that's, you know, it's a great brand to have in New York City. Let's put it that way. Irish and Italian, fantastic brands to have.
All right, Phil, you don't have to get all huffy about it, you know.
Yeah, well, that's a great, see, that's a word, that's a brand.
Oh, is it a brand?
Yeah, it's a brand.
Oh, it's a brand. Okay, everyone, I know it's a brand.
All right, it's a brand. So welcome to the show, and thank you again, Dr. Ed Alcott, for filling in for us on this show yesterday.
Have you listened to this, Dr. Ed Alcott? I think he is he's unusual.
Unusual? This guy is, this Ed Alcott, Phil. Now, where'd you get the idea to put him on the air?
I had, Dr. Alcott came to me and he said, if Mr. Henry, you are, have available time on your net, on your website there, on the Phil Henry website, on your Listen Live line, may we purchase... And I said, well, we don't do brokered shows. However, if I go on vacation or I take a day off or something... You're more than welcome. And he said, well, thank you very much. And I said, what else do you do?
Well, and you don't have to give me the whole story. I don't want to hear this guy's life story, all right? Because he sounds like some real weird, strange creep that creeps around, you know.
Well, the philosophy, Phil, is what?
I'm not going to get into the Dr. Ed Alcott philosophy.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, you're all afraid, like, he's going to have fans.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, don't be afraid of going to have fan base.
Well, I think that's the problem here.
That's right. I'm very afraid that Dr. Ed Alcott is going to develop and amass... what are you looking at?
Well, I'm sorry, but you went to...
Yeah.
You want me to go...
Get some coffee or something?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Let me go with you?
No, look, Dickman, you don't have to go with me every time I go take a dump.
Forget it.
All right. You want to go with him anyway.
I'll go with you anyway.
Thank you.
So... Yeah, Dr. Ed Alcott was this very fine chap who said, Mr. Henry, can we have... So I said, certainly, when I go on vacation or if I'm taking...
Oh, my God, I'm yawning.
So you're boring yourself. Isn't that Mr. Henry just yawned in the middle of his show?
Well, not the middle.
At the beginning of his show, then. How can you possibly do that?
I guess I was boring myself. The whole topic of Dr. Alcott is, quite frankly, dull to me. All right, welcome to the program, folks. It is Wednesday... It is July the 1435th. I don't know what the date is. What's the date today?
This is July 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
July 9th.
It's July 9th.
Okay.
I said it before you did.
So? I don't care. You said it before I did.
I want to be clear, Phil. I said it before he did.
Good for you. Woo!
You wanted... Hold on. No. You're not going to start playing... Don't call me a big baby. I just want you to know that when you needed information, I had it for you. Is that all right?
Fine, Margaret. You're appreciated and you're loved.
That's all I'm asking for, and a little bit of respect around here, if you don't mind.
Ah, you had it before me.
Oh, so now I look like the big baby. Is that right? Now everybody wants to burp me and bottle feed me? God.
Take it easy, Margaret.
I'm looking for my emery board.
Is that Emory Cliff? No. I don't know
what it is. Oh, baby. Can you believe what this one just said?
An Emory board, Robert, is something that ladies, women file their name. Anybody, actually, can file their nails with. I was going to say file their names.
Well, you can also file the bars on the jail cell.
Not with an Emory board.
Well,
no, yeah, you could file the bar. Never mind what you're filing bars with. A hacksaw or something like that. All right. So it's been it's just been a wild few days, and we were talking about the Anthony Cumia situation. See, here's the as I said in the pre-show, and I'll say it again. I have an opinion. I understand that a lot of people don't agree with it. It's cool if you don't agree with it. But if you don't agree with it, and then you hit me up with all kinds of insulting messages, you know, right off the bat, right out of the gate, before I'm even able to talk to you personally, I get called every name in the book. And my sexual orientation is questioned, which that's the least of my worries. If you want to question my orientation, that's fine. And all kinds of other things. And then when I return in kind with the same kind of... Because that's what's going to happen. I mean, if you come out of the gate with that kind of insult, it's going to get laid back on top of you. Then you can't start squealing like all of a sudden I'm not being fair. My opinion about the Anthony Cumia situation is my opinion. I hope the guy winds up on his feet. I hope he lands another great job. I hope financially he's doing well. I could hope that he educates himself a little bit better in terms of race in this country. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I'll tell you this right now. I don't think that, and maybe I shouldn't say, but this is an area that has been of interest to me ever since I was born. I don't think that surrounding himself with the numbskulls that I see him talking, some people are, I think, trying to get through to him. But some of these idiots that are supporting these very unfortunate views that he has. Because I read very carefully everything the cat said on a Twitter feed. It's some of the dumbest stuff I've ever seen in my life. Honest to God. It doesn't get any stupider than the stuff that this guy was writing. And I hope that he takes a look at that and at least says, well, you know, I can't be spilling that stuff out into the world and not expect the company that I work for to get interested in what it is I'm saying, and maybe get pissed off about that stuff. Okay, so that's fine.
Well, look, this Anthony Cumia, what are you talking about this for? What's the point?
The point is that, you know, I still contend with people behind the scenes, people talking to me, you know, listeners, fans, etc., about this, and they get so angry that they send me these messages thinking that they can insult me right out of the gate, and I'm not going to come back and insult them. They think that this is a place where they can unburden their screwed up lives. You know, look, if you got a drinking problem, if you have an emotional problem where you're not able to edit yourself, if you got a social skills problem, if you're just kind of an asshole, let's say, and you think that this is the place right here, the Phil Hendry Show, my messages on Facebook or wherever, this is the place to come and start throwing the insults around, you are so wrong, you know.
Well, Phil, I think anyone that knows you knows that. Now, you should be a little bit more gracious with people.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, you can't be all being mean and everything.
I don't want to be mean.
Yeah, so why are you getting mean with people?
I get mean with people that get mean with me.
Well, okay, I can... All right, right there. That one makes sense to me. But if you call a guy a douche... Did you walk down the street and call a guy a douchebag? No, don't answer that. Don't answer this question, Phil. Did you or did you not walk down a street and call someone a douchebag?
Well, no.
I said don't answer it.
Will you get out of here with your Abbott and Costello bit? No, I didn't.
All right, then what's the problem?
Somebody, all kinds of people, to be honest with you, and some people agree with me, will message you on Twitter, Facebook, wherever, and say thus and so about Anthony Cumia. Okay, I get it. But then the insulting ones are the ones that you then fire back with an insult, and they get upset. They think that they can, like their wife. This, I'm not married to you. I'm not, to be honest with you, with all due respect, I love the support that I have, but the only people I let talk to me like that are my family and very close friends. And I'm sure you're the same, you guys out there in podcast Radioville. And, of course, as I continue to educate people on what this is, which is sort of the wireless new, you know, this is the wireless new world. And it's no longer something that's limited to radio. It is wherever your smartphone goes. So, and I'm grateful for the fact that I don't get messages anymore from people saying, "And what station are you on?"
Oh my, they're not still doing that.
No, not anymore. I'm on this station here.
What's that?
That's your smartphone. Where does this phone go? Do you think this phone goes to the Arctic Circle?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's where I'm on. The Arctic Circle. But as we talk to people and we educate people and we communicate with people and people educate me, the one thing you don't do is you don't talk to a total stranger that way. You don't message a total stranger calling them a fuck and a this and a that and a sellout and a this and a that and expect them to just take it. It doesn't work that way in this world. At least it doesn't work that way in my world. And to be surprised by that, to be shocked by that, to be angered by that, you've got to be as stupid as a guy that would put all of this shit out on Twitter and not expect something to happen. Again, I read the man's comments carefully. And with the greatest of respect to Anthony, and I, like I said, I wish him all the best in the world. I really do. He's not going to get very far. First of all, with a sort of a stupid view of the world. That's a very stupid view of the world. It's not a realistic view of the world. Number one, talk to people that live in New York. They're not even going to agree with the basic statement, you know, this place is a savage jungle at night. New York is nowhere near the place it was in the 70s. That's number one. So where are you living, man? Well, he lives in Long Island. No, I don't know. I'm sure he's very, very familiar with New York. So that is such an insulated, that's such a reflection of an insulated life. It's not even funny. I mean, I'm sorry. You may think that you're street and hard and all that shit, but talking all of that 1970s stuff just shows that you haven't really been in the world for very long. Or at least you haven't been in New York City for all that much lately. Then the guy is talking about savages. Us, meaning whites versus blacks, all of these things that are really from the 50s. It's just incredible. And then to hear people agree with it, it's pretty amazing. But nothing is more amazing than the following. I give an opinion about this, and I am messaged calling me names, using the F and the MF and everything else, from people who never met me before in their lives. Don't even know who the hell I am, really. I haven't called anybody. I'm not here saying, hey, you, Mr. and Mrs. America, you're an asshole. I'm talking about Anthony Kumi and what he said. So, all right, I can even take that. No problem, that's fine. But then when I say back, okay, well, fuck you and the horse you rode in on, then all of a sudden, people are really getting pissed off. Like, can't I just come over here and talk to you any way I want?
Well, that's just it, Phil. A lot of people like to, as you said, unburden themselves that way in life in general.
Well,
now, hold on, I'm not done. And so they go through life talking that way to people, and when they select some media personality such as yourself, and then they message you...
Yeah, then they think they're going to tell you the same thing.
Right. Well, that doesn't happen that way in life. You know, I'm a pretty nice guy. You talk like that to a stranger who may not be as nice as me, and God knows what's going to happen. Certainly face-to-face. So so I say you can't do that, all right? And you want to be respectful, and you want to talk. It's fine. I'm going to disagree, and disagreeing with someone doesn't necessarily automatically make them an asshole. In the dumbass world we live in today, though, it does. So, all right. But I not here, not in the Phil Henry world. And we try to have a disagreement that's gonna maybe educate us a little bit more, a little bit better. So it's not a good thing to just fire on a stranger and call them all kinds of names and say that they're this and they're that and they're something else. You never met that person before. And then when they come back and they say, you can't talk to me like that, and you get shocked and you get upset and you get ass hurt and you start calling even more and more names, then all kinds of shit starts to happen. One of the things that happens around here is I have people that produce this show. And they're involved in all kinds of behind the scenes. Then when people really get crazy with us, we do a whole bunch of investigation as to who they are, what do they do for a living, where do they live. I mean, all of a sudden, anything that's on Google, man, we're all over it.
Well, now, wait just a minute. Are you saying...
Yeah, but son, you talking about like you spying on people?
No, we're not spying on people. But if somebody, for instance, issues a threat, then we find out about them. Well, who the hell is this that just said this? And what are they? And who are they? And where are they? And where, you know, how do they live? Because we can't let that stuff happen. You know, we can't allow that stuff to happen. I mean, that's just business. So the best thing to do is, if you hate me, you don't like what I think, you think I'm an asshole, then don't listen to me. I think that's a fantastic solution to the problem. We got to take a quick break here. The world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. This is Volbeat, The Hangman's Body Count. This album is continues to yield precious gems, rubies, and gold and silver and platinum for the producers and artists therein. Shady Ladies and Outlaw Gentlemen, I think.
No, it's Outlaw Gentlemen and Shady Ladies.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Woo! Hi, buddy. Bud Dickman here. You know, you want a great way to save money? If you go to Bendy's Money Shelter, they shelter your money there. It's a bank, but they call it Money Shelter because most banks people think of as corrupt and is not doing business in a fair way. Benny's Money Shelter is a place you go, you give him the money, he says, I'll be here when you get back. He's my uncle, and he keeps it in a secure lockbox, one that he got from a hotel he used to work at as a security guard. And he got a bunch of those. He'll put your money in there, and he won't even use it, but he doesn't pay interest.
Hi, I'm Benny at Benny's Money Shelter. My nephew's right. If you bring your money in, I'll put it in a lockbox. I can't pay interest, but you know it's safe.
Penny's Money Shelter in two convenient locations, neither of which Bunny has opened up yet. Did I call him Bunny?
Yes, it's Benny.
I'm sorry, Benny, not Bunny.
All
right, thank you again to Dr. Ed Elcott yesterday. And he will be filling in for us from time to time. We also qualified a whole bunch of backstage pass people this morning.
They've got a whole list of them, Missouri, and they're going to be in the running.
Right. We qualified a whole bunch of backstage pass people this morning for our one-man show at the end of the month at the Hollywood Improv on July the 30th, and that is going to be a fun time. So I can tell you that that there's all kinds of new things planned for the show. There's all kinds of new things that are going to be a part of the show. And you know, it would be a shame if you're a backstage pass member who's been shut out of the show because it's sold out. It'd be a shame if you guys don't make it, because I think it's going to be fun.
Well, you're doing that. See, you're doing a black man voice there. You got to knock that stuff off, because no, hold on for a minute, Phil. When you start doing the black guy voice...
You've never done a black guy voice, doesn't mean he's a racist.
I just fell into it, General.
Well, you fall into it, but then people will call up and go, so who is he, mocking me or something?
Who was the woman in Minneapolis that got upset with you?
Oh, that was CJ. CJ, yeah.
Who's CJ?
She was a columnist for a newspaper in Minneapolis years ago when I was up there at WCCO.
Well, she got upset when you did the black voice, didn't she?
She got upset when I did a black voice, yeah. She thought I was a racist. She never really wanted to talk to me after that, and I didn't care. But I broke into this black accent by, or I should say this urban African-American accent, when I was demonstrating something that I did on the show. But I guess I did it wrong, or I never really did find out how I screwed up there, but she was upset with me, and that was the end of that.
So you never were interviewed by the great CJ?
Well, I'm not being sarcastic, and no, I was never interviewed by her, and that's too bad. So, you know, when you're doing all this stuff, like the stuff that I do, you get, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, well, look, you're doing too much talking this morning and not making a lot of sense, as usual. Just get into the...
I'm not making a lot of sense, huh?
Well, it's obtuse, Phil.
All right. Let's see here. C. Ray Nagin. C. Ray Nagin Run. C.
Let me see that. That doesn't say that. It says the letter C.
I know, I'm kidding. C. Ray Nagin, the former mayor of New Orleans. When did he all of a sudden become C?
Being C.
The letter C.
Well, his first name is Carlisle or Clarence. Maybe he doesn't like it.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, but if you like the first name Clarence, how come you use the C in the first place?
Because there may be another Ray Nagin, you know? That's why people do that. There may be there may be 9 million Ray Nagins in New Orleans, and this guy is using the Ray Nagin, he's using C. Ray Nagin, so that people differentiate him from the other Ray Nagins. Anyway, C. Ray Nagin, the former mayor of New Orleans, was sentenced to 10 years in prison on Wednesday on federal corruption charges. The sentence was less than the recommended 15 years, but Judge Ginger Berrigan of United States District Court for the eastern half of Louisiana told the court that the evidence failed to show that Mr. Nagin had organized or had been a leader of a corruption scheme. So he got 10 years instead of 15. Mr. Nagin claimed a much, much smaller share of the profits of the crime than any other member of the group, Judge Berrigan said, referring to the businessmen who profited from the scheme.
Now, what is this scheme?
Well, this was a kickback scheme. This monies that were funneling or flowing from government contracts, is my understanding. So Mr. Nagin, while he was a part of the profiteering from these illegal, this illegal business transaction, he was not one of the bigger profiteers. So he didn't get 15 years, he got 10.
Yeah, it didn't seem like much of a break.
No, it doesn't seem like much of a break, but Judge Berrigan said, referring to the businessmen who profited, the judge said that Mr. Nagin's leadership was much needed after Hurricane Katrina, but that it had also been lagging. Prosecutors objected to the sentence, a move that could set up an appeal. Mr. Nagin, who will remain out on bond, hug family and friends after the sentencing, I'm trusting God is going to work all this out, he said. He was found guilty in February on 20 counts, most relating to kickbacks from contractors looking for city work. Nagin was arrested in January 2013, 3 years after he left office. He was charged with taking kickbacks in the form of cash, cross-country trips, or help with the family-run Granite Countertop Company. The bribes were handed out by men looking for city business, ranging from software supplies to sidewalk repair. Many of the schemes, though not all, took place after Hurricane Katrina, when contractors crowded into the city looking for rebuilding work. Many of those involved eventually pled guilty and testified at length against Mr. Nagin.
Well, so these guys ratted him out, is that it?
Yes, that's, and they were looking for the contract to rebuild the city.
Yes, yes. You know, you would think that with experience, and we've got a lot of experience with this in America, going back to the very beginning of the country, the idea of bribing city officials, my God, this has been going on forever. And you'd think we'd have enough experience in this, we would know that, hey, something bad just happened, like the whole damn city of New Orleans went belly up because of Hurricane Katrina. Now maybe it's time we take a look, a real close look, at what kind of business is being done by City Hall. Maybe they did, I don't know.
What do you mean maybe they did?
I don't know, maybe they had,
Yeah, they probably had some undercover and everything.
Well, this isn't the Untouchables, you know.
What? Excuse me, what?
God, bud, what happened to you?
Yeah, Dickman, you went, what?
Yeah, something wrong with my throat or something, I don't know.
There's been something wrong with your throat for a long time.
Let me just finish this. Many of those involved eventually pled guilty and they testified against Nagin. The corruption had been so thoroughly covered in the local news media that few people were surprised by the verdicts. Mr. Nagin had come into office in 2002 as a reformer from the business world and a foe of cronyism. Good Lord, these guys have got some kind of balls on them, don't they?
Well, they get in there and they are corrupt. You know the old saying, Phil, power corrupts, and absolute power... What's the finish of that?
Corrupts absolutely.
What?
That's what the finish of it is.
What? No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. Absolute power corrupts...
Wait a minute. Who said that?
I forget. Lord something.
Lord something? Buddy, see, Margaret was making... She gave a quote to see if you know... We don't think your head's on your shoulders this morning, Phil.
Why?
Because of all this stuff you've been dealing with the Anthony Cumia.
No, Michael, what are you talking about? My head's on my shoulders. I'm guaranteeing you right now, the guy that first said power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely, was a lord something or a count something.
Oh, my God, Count Dracula?
You're pretty funny, Count Dracula.
Well, I wouldn't say that's your best, but it's not bad.
No, it ain't Count Dracula. It's a lord. All right?
Lord Kitchener. Lord,
I'll find out who it is. Where'd you hear a Lord Kitchener?
Well, it's the name of a city in Ontario.
Right?
Kitchener, Ontario is.
Oh.
Anyway, yeah, I'm going up to Lord Kitchener, Ontario after the show. So anyway, throughout the trial, the courtroom was half empty except for a riveting 2 days when Mr. Nagin took the stand and denied everything, at times with a glib dismissal. At one point, even refused to recognize his own signature on receipts that federal prosecutors displayed on a large screen. The city grew frustrated with his stewardship, particularly in his second term when the rebuilding after Hurricane Katrina stalled and Mr. Nagin seemed unengaged by the time he left office in 2010. Many in New Orleans had moved past frustration and were simply ready to see him go. This is a guy that I recall when Hurricane Katrina hit, everybody and their brother was lining up to defend. He was just the most put upon, sorry ass guy, and oh my Lord, he's fighting hard for his city, and if the FEMA and this, and the FEMA that, and the FEMA something else, and the Bush this, the Bush that, and the Bush something else. And it turns out that this jackass, along with whoever the governor was at the time, they had full authority to get those buses. Remember they were talking about moving the buses?
Well, they were talking about getting people on the buses and evacuating them.
Yeah, right there. I remember that. And that's when you had that ass on. They remember the ass that you had on?
What ass?
That guy, what's it? Dozier, who spit into the face of the hurricane. The whole thing was a clusterfuck.
You know, let's watch our language a little bit.
Oh, look who's talking.
Well, I can. So, throughout the trial, the courtroom was half empty except for a riveting 2 days when Mr. Nagin took the stand. At a court filing urging a stiff sentence, if you pardon the expression.
When you say, see what happened, would you...
Hey!
Watch your mouth.
But Mr. Henry's the one who said stiff sentence.
Oh, now he's bawling.
Would you sit down, bud? Yes, I said, so what's wrong with that?
Well, you encourage it.
In a court filing urging a stiff sentence, federal prosecutors described... Do you want to, Phil, file that? Because I can see you pointing at Robert.
Yes. Is that disturbing you?
Well, Margaret, when I'm reading and you're going, you know, moving your hands around...
Robert.
Yeah, I'm not a stiff sentence.
Thank you.
So every time we hear stiff sentence...
I'm not prohibiting it. I'm making a mental note of it so that we can then go to the filth file. Oh, by the way, to the woman that said bite me... On my fan, I want to address this. There was a woman that said, bite me, after I said to her, never mind.
After you said what?
Yeah, I want to hear about Ms. Gray.
You know what, I've got to take a...
What, do you have to take a dump?
Did I say that?
Well,
hold on for a minute. What happened?
I'll talk to you after the next break. How is that?
All right, that's fine. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show on philhenryshow.com. We'll take our break right now, and then we will get to it here. With the rest of this news, that whole Ray Nagin bull crap. And then we've got a high-end hooker from Georgia. Now, I don't mean to be a smartass, but as I said in the pre-show, ain't that an oxymoron? Oh, yeah.
The Phil Henry Show will be right back.
It could be. My imagination runs fast. Only if you're coming with me. 4 a.m. staying up past. I have a lonely shark's last. Don't know why I live so fast. They be telling me to slow down. I be screaming, oh, fuck that. I really wanna take you down. Moaning is how I wanna make you sound. Can't wait until I get you home. Fuck that, I wanna take you now. Let's do it all. Have a ball, hook up tonight in the ladies' room stall. Follow you there, I'll let you make the call. You can text all your friends so you'll see them tomorrow. Yeah, that's if you're down. She never fucked the first night until now. Let me plow, faded, I'm drunk off the brown. Stay up all night on the town. Act like tomorrow just doesn't exist. Time isn't real, ain't shit on my wrist. Let go of everything, then you have bliss. Then she told me this. Let's get lost tonight. You could be Supreme Kate Moss tonight. Turn up in the Soho loft tonight. Do drugs, take 10 shots tonight.
Yeah.
Awesome, I'm naked with naked and famous.
There's G-Eazy and that's Let's Get Lost. Featuring Devin Baldwin.
Oh, I like this. This is very nice. Take me down, take me all the way.
Yeah, you just carved it up.
No, I didn't carve anything up, but you've got nothing in your ears. You've got nothing in your ears than the wax buildup you've had for years and years. Have you ever put a cute...
Hey.
I hate it when I can't get a good line off.
You're pretty as fuck and I'm trying to slay.
All right, so there is Cheesy. Welcome back to our show here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Margaret Gray is holding forth here this morning. Now, what were you going to say, Margaret? Where the hell, what happened to this? Why are these computers going to sleep so fast?
What are you talking about, going to sleep?
That's good. We got to reset them and everything.
The monitor goes dark.
Yeah, I don't like them. These things are going dark too fast. All right. So what happened?
What happened was simply this. As you know, we've been concentrating on the filth file. Some woman said, well, goodbye, Margaret. I'm unliking your page because you're doing too much of this filth file. And she said, why don't you sing more? And I didn't have a chance. I would have said to her, well, why don't you listen to the Phil Henry podcast and you'll hear me singing? But if you're too cheap or too dumb to know how to use the iTunes to get the podcast, or if you think the Phil Henry Show is still on your local AM 1600 on the dial radio station, you are deadly wrong, deathly wrong.
All right.
I'm not done, Phil. I'm getting warmed up here. Now, the Margaret Gray fan page is what I want it to be. We all take our cue from the same master, which is our creative muse. You heard there, take me down, take me all. What is he looking at?
Come on, Margaret.
Pull me off of him. I almost...
I'm just looking at you because it's weird.
Well, it may look weird, but I'm a singer. And I'm a woman with great class and great breeding.
All right, let me... Can I say something?
Phil, I'm not done.
No, I'm going to say something. If you're a woman of great class...
You said crass, Mr. Henry.
Yes, I distinctly heard you say crass.
All right, I'm sorry. If you're a woman of great class and breeding, then why are you constantly going after him to beat his face in?
That is the only answer for something like that. I swear to God, the day I catch you, Dickman, will be the day that you are knocking on the pearly gates and saying, oh my goodness, this early?
What?
I hate it when he does that.
Well, Margaret...
That's two lines that you got off this morning that just went clang, clang.
Hey!
Look at this. That won't clang.
All right.
What are you sitting there going? God, you know, Phil, sometimes when you laugh, you get the face of I don't know what it is. It's like the Scream combined with the Joker and Ghoul Man, which is a creature I've just created because I can't really put it into words. When you laugh, you go.
Okay.
Okay.
What's the point here, Margaret? Will you get God...
Take it easy there, General.
Everybody's telling everyone to take it easy around here. I'm sitting here. I've gone through three yoo-woos, and you know how valuable these are. And
no, I don't know how valuable your yoo-woos are. I don't even know what goes in that stuff, and I don't want to know.
Well, that's good, because you won't know. When I start marketing these, you'll be cut out of the profit circle. Oh!
Yeah, Mr. Harry.
Well, it's just going to have to be the way it is. But I do agree with the general. Could you tell us what,
I'm trying to woo. Everyone settled in. So this woman messages me at the Margaret Gray Fan Club. Now, on Facebook, we have the Margaret Gray Fan Club for fans of the Margaret Gray Fan Club. Or not for fans of the Margaret Gray. For fans of the Margaret Gray.
What?
If you say that again, but I'll... yeah, oh. Not the Margaret Gray. For fans of the me. Not
for fans of Margaret Gray.
Yes, for fans of Margaret Gray. The only the in my family is the Delmonico. And
by the way, he was gonna call up.
The Delmonico, get him on the phone. What's his problem?
Wanna know if you're gonna go that if he can go up to the mountains.
Get him on the phone.
Yeah, Delmonico? Delmonico.
Give me the phone. Yes, darling, it's Mommy. Yes, honey. You want to go where, darling? You want to go up to the Wilderness Park. Where is that located, darling? Mm-hmm. Now, honey, Delmonico, Mommy's talking. Your friends can call you Jason, yes. The Delmonico, though, is your professional. I would rather they called you the Delmonico. Well, I heard the one brat. What's the one brat with the board short? Kavner? Oh, that's the last name? What's his first name? Cavanella Kavner. Is that a he or a she? Oh, it's a girl. Well, it looks like a boy. Oh. All right, darling. You have fun.
Do I dare ask?
Yeah, I'd love to know what that...
No, it's really none of your concern, but I'll tell you. He wants to go hiking up in the Wilderness Park area there above Angeles National Forest, and I said that's fine. He's going with a young girl by the name of Cavanella Kavner. She's the daughter of a film editor here in Hollywood. She looks like a boy. She dresses like a man. And she walks like a man. I was thinking of a song. But nonetheless, she's a very, very, very nice girl, and I do approve. He wanted to know if she could call him Jason J and not the Delmonico. I said, oh, well, all right. That's it.
Wow.
What are you shaking your head at?
Margaret, it's just very strange. That's a very strange... you have a very strange way of talking about people.
And what does that mean?
Yeah, Margaret, listen.
I mean, I'm just saying she looks like a boy, she talks like a girl, the Delmonico this... Don't you understand a 14-year-old boy is going to want to be called by his regular name? He doesn't want to be having his mama insist that he be called the Delmonico.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, on this show, we give opinions. I'm giving you my opinion. I'm not saying you have to do it. It's my opinion.
Well, who asked you for your opinion, Phil?
I didn't make it. Oh, man, here we go.
Next thing, why don't you tell us how you almost died giving birth to him?
Well, I did.
All right, you almost died giving birth to him. A lot of women have almost died in childbirth. It's a horrible thing, but you survived it, Margaret. You're tough. You gave birth to that boy. You're doing your best. That's fantastic. I just think that exchange you just had there with him about the girl looks like a boy and who is the kid, and Cavendella Kavner, whatever the hell that name is.
That wasn't it. Her name is Cavendishia. What did I say, bud?
You said I made some notes.
Read them back.
Yeah, darling, Cavendella Cavender.
It's not Cavendella, you jackball on a string. Give me that. Yeah, darling, you go up to Lake, looks like a man, talks like a boy, walks like a man. Cavendella Kavner. Are you blind? There's your writing. Actually, I don't know if that's your writing or is that... Oh, I'm sorry, that's something got spilled there.
Give me that. Cavendella Kavner, yes.
All right. What about it?
I think that this is a world that the kids are already involved in. Very adult, it's creative, it's high pressure, they're little actors and they're actresses, and let them be kids. Okay?
Well, all right, Phil, well, let them be kids! That's what I'm trying to do.
Well, all right, but I mean, if you tell a kid that he's got to be called the Delmonico by his friends...
You know, Margaret, Phil's got a very good point. Let the kid be called a normal name like Mikey or Bill or Fred or something. You call this kid by some name, makes him sound like some little Lord Fauntleroy with a candelabra parked way up the rear area. And I don't think it's fair for him or any of the other individuals. I'm losing my train of thought, but you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand.
Yes, General, fine. Thank you for your opinion. Now, may I go on with what I wanted to say?
Yes, you may. I mean, we got sidetracked when you were calling yourself the Margaret.
I don't call myself... Fans of the Margaret Gray Fan Club are there because they are fans of the fan of the goddamn you...
Of Margaret Gray!
Of Margaret Gray, yes. Anything I do on that page, I may sing, I may walk around like an idiot, I may take my pants off. No, it's not going to happen. But let's just, anything I do, people are going to be there because they love it. Now, a lady messaged me, Phil, you're talking about the messages that you get. A lady messaged me, and she said, Margaret, I'm saying goodbye. I'm unliking your page. Well, right away, when someone makes personal contact with you that says they are unfriending you or unliking your page, they are reaching out to make that personal connection. They want to know that you know they exist. Well, in an instant like that, when they tell you that they're unliking your page, and you know that they want your acknowledgement of their existence, which is exactly what that's about, in my philosophy of dealing with fans...
Margaret...
Oh, wait a minute! ...is to acknowledge their existence and dismiss it immediately. In other words, was that something that I felt move into the room? Oh, look at that. It's a cockroach. Someone get a Chico Jr. or a broom.
What is a Chico Jr.?
It's the boot with the pointed toe.
Okay, so you acknowledge their existence by dismissing it.
Yes. So I acknowledge you exist. Now I'm going to step on you or sweep you out of the room because I have other things to do. So when she said that I'm unliking you and here are all the reasons... All I said was the following. Bye, don't let the screen door, etc., etc.
So you're being a smartass.
No, I was not. I was making personal contact with her and dismissing her very existence within 2 to 3 seconds Jesus.
Margaret, you know...
No, don't you people understand?
Margaret, it's a hostile thing. If she said, I'm unliking your page, and here's why, I don't like all the filth file, and I wish you would sing more, I think that's a very straight ahead. That's the kind of communication that I would appreciate from people, okay?
Well, you just got done saying you don't like them insulting you and calling you some kind of a thing, and you take it up the voodoo.
What?
You take it... Someone said that Phil takes it up the...
The what?
The what? The poop shoot, all right?
No.
Oh, my God.
Well, I don't know.
General, you want...
Yeah, I think we're getting a little meltdown here, Phil.
We're fine, all right? Everybody nitpicking on whether somebody went... No one ever said that to me, okay? Look, insults are insults. We know very clearly what they are. If all this woman did was say to you, I'd like you to sing more and I'd like you to do the filth file less, how's that an insult? It may be a disagreement with the direction of the show, but she's not using any kind of a vituperative. No, I will not explain what that means. Go look it up.
God, man, I was going to ask.
I know what you were going to ask. Go look it up.
How do you spell it?
Would you get out of here? So, that's what I'm saying.
That's what you're saying, huh? You're saying, in other words, that I was not allowed to say, don't let the screen door hit you.
I thought that was a little smart-assy. If she said, I'm unliking the page, bye-bye.
No, you've got to read the message, all right?
All right, so you said, don't let the screen door hit you.
Yeah, and then she came back with, oh, bite me. And that's when I came back with, well, F you.
You told her to F off.
Yes, I did. Now, I can't wait to get off the air. In fact, I think I'll go over and check the page right now. And see what she's saying.
Will you wait a minute, please, for God's sake? Uh-oh. We've got a problem here with Audacity. No, we do not. Okay, good. I thought we had Audacity stop on us. What happens, Bud, when I do that?
Just go on that little small screen. All I'll do is stop it.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for the English lesson there, Bud.
Well, you asked me.
So you go over there and you check that page out, and we'll find out what that's about. Now, Ray Nagin of the city of New Orleans is going off to prison. But that's not the only thing going on in life. There is one other story here today that I thought was an interesting one, and that is the Google executive that has passed on, died, or was he murdered? And if he was murdered, was it by at the hands of a high-end prostitute? Apparently, this executive, this Google exec, OD'd on heroin. And police are charging Alex Catherine Tickleman, age 26, or Titchelman, an admitted high-end prostitute from Georgia. And we made the joke, is there such a thing? And
yes, I thought it was a very low-rent joke, Phil.
I know that, but I also said, you know, if look, every state, every part of the country, every region has its detractors or its people that mock it. California is the land of fruit and nuts. How long are we going to hear that one, okay? That's been going on ever since I was born. The land of fruit and nuts, the land of fruit and nuts. Okay, so we're the land of fruit and nuts, and that's it. If you come from Georgia, you're considered to be a dumbass. I'm sorry, that's just where... Now, if they would have said a high-end prostitute from Atlanta, now that would, you know, maybe fly.
Well, I'd barely fly.
Yes, you can say Atlanta. I mean, it would be better if a high-end prostitute from New Orleans, say...
New Orleans.
Yes, New Orleans, because even though New Orleans is a rundown toilet bowl of a city with criminal elements running the city, it's still absolutely picturesque and a marvelous place to vacation, you see.
Well, you know, that's a good point.
It is. New Orleans is a classy place, and I couldn't agree more, General. It is a place where there is corruption afoot, where the absolute stench of corruption fills your nostrils the moment you get off the airplane until the moment you get... on the airplane. Have you ever flown into New Orleans, Phil?
I never have.
You've never flown into New Orleans, and you've lived there, and you've visited there.
That's exactly right. I have never flown in. I've driven in, and I even took a train in once. But I have never flown in to New Orleans. I have driven into New Orleans two or three times.
That year it's moving there.
That was when I was moving there, yes. I drove into New Orleans another couple times visiting from the west. I drove into New Orleans from the southeast when I was going to live there, and I visited there on the train when I was going from Miami to L.A. back in 96, but I've never flown into New Orleans, so I don't know, although I think I had a layover there once, because I seem to remember the New Orleans airport.
Well, if you get off the plane, thank you for that big long. I wasn't all that much interested in your life.
Well, Margaret, you asked the guy.
I know I asked him, but this is about me and my opinion. Jesus.
That's all right, Margaret. Go ahead.
Go on, Margaret. Sorry.
Every time I try to express an opinion, suddenly it's all about Phil or Robert. So I got off the plane in New Orleans.
Now, we do have to take a break.
You know what? Fuck.
Take it easy, will you?
Jeez.
We'll be right back here after this message, and then Margaret can continue her story about how New Orleans, the stink of it, fills the nostrils once you, you know, get off and once you get down and once you, you know, get down tonight. Whatever the hell. Here's Loopy Fiasco, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Be right back here on the show today.
Next to it.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Hey, where the hell's Bob Bakian, man? We need the Bob Bakian traffic, don't we?
You know, that Bakian, you know, the only reason why you have him on this program is because he's a mental midget that doesn't know what to do with his life other than travel around with helicopter sound effects, not really doing traffic. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. But I happen to like Bob because I like the helicopter effect on the show. So with the traffic, we do have Bob Bakian. Let's see what's going on up there. Bob, how are you this morning?
Hey, fellas, Bob Beckett here. I'm doing very well, too. We're taking a downtown look here at the traffic. And this traffic is sponsored by Claverty's. Claverty's is a great place for you and your family to go for shoes, for sports hats, for sports shorts, and for board shorts. That's Claverty's with the shoes, sport hats, board shorts. Bob Beckett with the traffic here in downtown. There's a ground round, and there's a little tiny band with a gown down. He's got his gown down, he's got his pants down. I'm Bob Beckett with the traffic.
Margaret Gray here for Claverty's, a great place to go for sports hats, sports shoes, board shorts, and short shorts. They specialize in those four items. They are in all the natural colors. I was going to say the unnatural colors.
Yeah, well.
They're all in all of the unnatural colors. I don't think you'd want to put on yourself or your children, would you? I don't know. But if you're looking for an unnatural color, I don't even want to talk about that, and it should not be infecting this commercial for Claverty's. Claverty's, located in the mall.
Nigga, what we talking, that's a million, let's do it. Nigga, what we talking, that's a million, let's do it.
Yeah.
Still at the bottom with a million next to it, cause yeah. A million ain't shit when a million next to it. A billion ain't shit when a trillion next to it. Countin' saving hoe, she want a hero next to it. But I ain't trying to hear it, put my elbow next to it, cause it's strange to a nigga, kinda weirdo next to it. Nigga, yo, while I got a robber next to it. Black ski mask with a chopper next to it. You might need a beer with a doctor next to it, but nigga, I'll ball like soccer next to it. Let's go.
Next to it, that's Lupe Fiasco with Ty Dolla $ign, the he of the great Paranoid.
Oh, that I've got two. Oh, God.
Those two bitches in the club, and I know they're trying to set me up. All right. Welcome back here, and we had Margaret Gray here holding forth on this woman. You were talking about this. You said, bite me and F you. And what else were we talking about?
Yeah, well, Margaret wanted to discuss the, well, I forget now.
Yeah, oh, the Georgia thing?
I don't know. You were going to allow me to... New Orleans, the stink. When you get off of the plane in New Orleans, at the New Orleans International Airport, it smells of crawfish, hush puppies, Popeye's fried chicken, and all... And that should smell good. But the stench settles about the nostrils as a thing that is both remarkably malodorous and transcendently stenchful. And I noted that in a recent lecture that I gave.
Are we going to get anywhere close to the finish of this?
You know what? I got to go make a few phone calls. I think we've got a beaver upstairs trapped in our house.
What?
What's that mean?
I was trying to finish with something classy, and I blew it again, all right?
Yeah.
Classy?
Phil, you don't have to go classy!
Is that because I was telling you about the time we had raccoons in the,
Yes, and I was trying to think of the word raccoon and it came out beaver.
Yeah.
Say that to me. I didn't say beaver as in pussy.
All right.
I swear to God, Phil, you've got to get control of this program.
Margaret, the only thing that's out of control in this program is when you're jumping Bud. You're the one that said beaver.
Yeah, I should have said raccoon, you go beeve.
I didn't say beeve, did I? And that's your...
Hey, come on. All right, folks. Lord, you know.
Henry, this is without a doubt one of the goofball shows of the century that you're putting on right here today.
All right, thank you. This story, High price Santa Cruz. What is she from Georgia? Is she a high price Santa Cruz prostitute? What is the story here?
Well, tell me, she's from Georgia to live in Santa Cruz.
Well, first of all, you got to get a look at what they consider to be high priced in Santa Cruz. Now, I don't mean to parade a woman's looks for perusal as if she is a chunk of red meat, but if that's what she does for a living and that's how she wants to be seen, then by God, that's what we're going to do. And if that's a high-priced hooker from, you know, Georgia by way, or Santa Cruz by way of Georgia, then, buddy, save your money.
Hey.
Thank you. Now then.
What a sexist thing to say.
No, you know, you want to know what's sexist? Is putting your ass out on the block for sale like you are a chunk of meat. That's not sexist.
Are you saying that a woman has no right to make her way in this world?
I'm saying women and men have a right to survive, but if you're going to break the law, you break the law. A high-priced Santa Cruz prostitute has been arrested in connection to the murder of a Google executive on November 23rd, 2013, on his private yacht. Alex Catherine Tickleman, or Titchelman, age 26, an admitted high-end prostitute. Are you a high-end prostitute? Well, okay, I admit that. Are you a moderately priced prostitute? No, I do not admit that. From Georgia, met Google executive Forrest Timothy Hayes, age 51, on the dating website SeekingArrangement.com. That's interesting. Here's a guy with all the money in the world. He's got to go on a dating website.
But look, all the guy want to do get shagged. The guy want to get shagged. He ain't going to find a woman like that.
You know, Phil, I agree with Bud, whatever he said. Talk like a civilized human being.
What did you say, Bud?
I said if a guy wants to get... I mean, I shouldn't say, but if a guy want to get his ashes hauled, you know.
But Bud's saying if you want to get laid, you're not going to hang around some cocktail party and cross your fingers.
Well, but I'm saying by this point in his life, with all of this bread, he's not able to attract women who want to have sex with him, like for real, like maybe even be his wife, like really. I mean, you know. Be with him instead of hiring a pro. I don't know. Maybe there's a...
Exactly. There is no difference. I hate to say that, but there isn't. You know, I didn't... And don't look at me like that, Robert.
I'm not looking like what?
Well, I noticed the suspicious eyes now. When I married Frank, yes, he had money. I did play leapfrog with him. You're looking at me...
Margaret, I mean, we're going to look at you.
Well, what does that mean?
Margaret, we're not looking at you so we can get a rod on. We want to hear what you got to say.
Excuse me.
Okay. The next time you say excuse me and leave the room, Margaret?
Yes?
The next time you do that, you're not going to be allowed to say anything in that segment that you leave in.
What? Yeah, just kick her off the show.
Shut your hole. What does that mean, Phil?
It means that if you come back now and want to say something before the commercial break, you will not be allowed to say it.
Fine, I'm back. Is this okay?
Sit down. Now, what did you want to say?
I wanted to say that when Frank and I played leapfrog in his office and I wasn't wearing panties, all right?
Yeah.
You?
Yeah.
You, all of you out there.
All right, Margaret.
I wasn't wearing panties. That's not prostitution in the sense that you are thinking, and I know what you men are thinking. Did I put it out there? Yes. Did I want Frank to see the merchandise? Yes. Was I charging him cash on the barrel head? No.
Can I say something?
What do you want?
When you say barrel head, and I'm sorry, but when you say barrel head, do you mean your butt?
Barrel head is my butt. Well, you...
Hey!
I'll kick your ass, bud.
I didn't mean anything, bud.
Don't you know he didn't mean that?
Oh, he didn't mean it. Yeah, that's right. And Columbus didn't mean to discover America. He just happened to... He just happened to run into it.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Oh, bullshit.
Where's she going now?
She's leaving.
That's right. I have nothing more to say.
Are you going to enforce that, Mr. Herring?
Enforce what?
What you just said about she don't get to say nothing when she comes back?
Yeah, here she comes.
Now,
no, turn her mic off.
Oh, what is this all of a sudden, Phil?
Your mic gets turned off if you walk out of here and come back in the same segment.
Fine.
I nobody called Margaret a prostitute here. Nobody said,
I don't like people talking about me.
Close the door. Nobody said she's a prostitute. Nobody said that Margaret brought that up herself.
Well, look, you know, there's no question that when you are a man and there's a woman, and the two of you see each other for the first time, and in my case, when I met Patsy, she looked at me, She saw the man that I was. At that time, I was a United States Army lieutenant in Vietnam. It was before we had our children. And, of course, she was there as a journalist with the Christian Science Monitor. It was a pacifist column she was writing, and she was getting the lowdown on what she called the child killers and the butchers of Vietnam, right? And I met her, and we hit it off. Now,
wait, hold on for a minute here.
Yeah, what's this about, man?
I want in on this.
No, you're not getting in on this.
God damn it.
What's the problem?
Wait. Your wife was a columnist who wrote a pacifist column for the Christian Science Monitor.
That's right.
And she wanted to get the lowdown on the baby killers and the butchers of Vietnam, and you hit it off.
Well, I'm talking about hitting it off.
What is with you guys all of a sudden? You don't get the chemistry between a man and a woman?
I get the chemistry between a man and a woman. I don't understand it. She must have had deep-seated conflicts about the...
About the war.
About the war.
No, she hated the Vietnam War. As soon as we got married and we got home, she was right back out on the street with the big protest signs. And I used to say to her, you know something? You look like about 100 yards of jackass on skates when you're out there. And she'd say, why don't you kiss it? And I said, I might take you up on that later on when the sun don't shine.
Hey.
Thank you.
That sounds like a great relationship.
You better believe it.
Well, when you were just kidding around each other.
No, we weren't kidding around. You can talk to Patsy yourself. You know, she hated the... And she still hates war.
And she's married to an army guy.
That's right. You know, sometimes, Phil, this is what makes life go around. You can be married and you can be have the sexualities and, the different... And the things that you have with an individual that is completely your opposite when it comes to the worldview. And yet you complement each other. And actually, what I'm saying is a load, because all we really have in common, and we'll always have in common, is our deep, deep abiding love of sex. There.
Well, what are you getting pissed at?
Well, it looks to me like that's what you guys want.
What do you mean we want sex?
You want that information.
No, man, we were listening to you. Is that true?
Well, no, we have great respect for each other, but you guys are waiting for me to get to the good part.
You're the guy that said when you met her...
Look at this guy. You're the... Boy, you laugh like you're hosting the afternoon movie or something. What's with you?
Hey, look at General. You're the guy that said you met her and you got married, even though she was a pacifist, and you came back to the States from Vietnam. She was there at a fact-finding thing?
She was there as a reporter, for Jesus' sake.
All right, okay, she was a reporter. You come back to the States. She's out of there protesting the war, this and that. And then you say, why do you do that? And she said, why don't you kiss it?
Yeah, and I said, well, I will when the sun goes down. And Bud, in our minds, that's what we're hearing.
In your minds, you're hearing applause.
You know, Phil, every time you go, I don't like that phony baloney laughter.
I'm not laughing phony, man. I just, what I'm saying is, so all right.
May I come back?
No, you may not. No, you do not come back. If you walk out, you come back next segment.
Blow it out your...
I thought I told you to shut that door.
Bud, don't you dare...
All right, shut.
Thank you. All right, so let's get back to this high-end prostitute, if you don't mind. We come back in the... Because I want to find out. This is an interesting story. It's a sad story, a tragic story. It's a story of drugs. It's a story of wealth. It's a story of a high-end prostitute. It's the story of a high-end prostitute from Georgia. It's the story of a high-end prostitute from Georgia who lived in Santa Cruz. Where did he die? Why did he die? What kind of drugs does he have? Or did he have? We're going to find out here when we come back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And I'd like to remind you of what you all get with a backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And with that information is General Galen Shaw. General Shaw?
Well, thanks a lot, Phil. You know, the backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Henry Show is your gateway to over 10,000 hours of original comedy, radio comedy, podcast comedy, audio comedy that you won't hear anywhere else. That is original. That was started by Phil Henry. That has been often imitated but never duplicated. That is comedy that is so valuable, that is so needed, so wanted, that it will add years to your life, that people are out there trying to do everything they can to get their hands on it. All you need is a $9.99 backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Henry Show website. Here's Bud Dickman to tell you more.
Thanks a lot, General. All you got to do is go to the website and log on and get a backstage pass, monthly or every 6 monthly or yearly, to the Phil Henry Show. Now, here's Wayne Gloyd to tell you more.
Hello, I'm Wayne Gloyd, and I'd like to tell you that the Phil Henry website is a great buy. I have it. I have it for my office. I have it for my home. I have it for my family. I have it for all of my girlfriends and my wives.
So remember, the Phil Henry Show website at philhenryshow.com. You get the video cast, the daily podcast. You get all the podcasts. Get the classic podcast. Get the archives. You're going to get the news feed. You're going to get the her feed and the bill feed. And you'll get the mule feed.
The world famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. Brother, if you ain't hitting that up, you all messed up.
You're so crazy.
Lil Wayne and Crazy.
You're so crazy.
He's nuts. This cat is way out there, isn't he?
Well, I think Lil Wayne... Yes, I'm back, ladies and gentlemen.
I know.
I think Lil Wayne, as you said, he'd been doing the syrup for quite some time, and I think the syrup has finally sent him into another... Turn that up, bud. I want to just listen to...
Yeah, he's pretty weird.
Tell me something I don't
this
know.
Cat ain't any weirder than anybody else.
Like money, drugs, bitches, guns.
He's great. All right.
Why do you think he's great?
I like the guys. He's insane. He's a metal case. I like anybody that's a metal case. And I think he's a good... In terms of hip-hop, it's just about as good, if not better, than anything else. He's got... He's psycho. I dig it, you know? I mean, what do you want me to tell you? You know, I'm attracted to weird things because I'm a weird thing. And I'm never going to fit into any mold that anybody wants me to fit. All these guys, you know, it goes back to what I was saying at the beginning of the show. All of these guys, especially some of my male listeners, they want me to be the kind of guy that'll hang out at the ball game with them. The kind of guy that can stand there and quaff a beer and talk about black people. The kind of guy that'll stand there and want to go out on their powerboat on the Colorado River. You know,
what do you mean stand there and go out on a powerboat in the Colorado? Well, you're either doing one or the other.
That's true. Stand there and go out on a powerboat. Now, that I'd like to do.
You'd like to stand there and be on a powerboat in the Colorado River?
Yes. But I don't want to go on the boat on the Colorado River.
Why not?
Because I don't like going out on a powerboat in the Colorado River. I don't like those loud-ass things. I don't like that culture out there. I don't like anything having to do with any of those people, okay? I'm sorry. But that's me. And, you know... And it really disappoints a lot of guys. Not everybody, but it really disappoints a lot of guys because they think I'm one of those assholes that wants to go out there with his girlfriend, have her take her top off. And by the way, I better not say.
Your girlfriend's got large breasts. I know that.
I didn't say that. But anyway, you know, and the beer cans and the water and everything else. It's just not my, it's not, you know, the world that I live in. But. Having said all of that stuff, and I think that's where they get all pissed off, because they think that I think like them, you know?
Well, they think that you, what happened to you, Phil? We thought you were just as racist as us.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Hey, wait a minute. I thought you were cool, man. I mean, you were in favor of the war in Iraq. Doesn't that mean you also hate black people? No. That doesn't mean anything, man. It just means that thing, and then this thing, and then another thing, and I believe all kinds of different things. And that's just the way it is. So,
Well, nobody likes to be stereotyped, Phil. I can agree with that. But going back, for instance, to what I was saying about this prostitute and Frank and I playing leapfrog with no panties, people always point to that and they say, wasn't that your slut moment? And I say to them, no, it was not. It was simply what needed to be done at the time. Do you understand?
No, I don't understand. I don't understand. If you're saying to me that, you know, women shouldn't behave this or that, and yet there you were in Frank's office before you got married, playing leapfrog with no panties on, and you're telling me that that was not your slut moment.
That was not... that. What is it about getting it done that you don't understand?
Yeah, getting it done, that could be a sexual act.
What? You are a mental... You know something, bud? You are retro-mental. You take me back to the good old days when people walked around using night soil buckets wherever they went, just stopping, lifting up a hoop skirt, and shitting into a coffee can. Excuse me. Oh, ha, ha, ha.
Bye.
Wait a minute, I'm coming back. That means I can't say anything?
That's right.
Then I'll sit down. God, I hate that.
Well, Margaret, new rules. Phil's
Phil's studio, Phil's gate.
There you go.
back in the day when they used to lift up a hoop skirt and shit into a coffee can. Well, it's funny. Don't you want me to laugh when you say something funny? So moving back here to the story of the hour here on the Phil Hendry Show, his name is Forrest Timothy Hayes, 51, on a dating website, seekingarrangements.com. But that's how we got into this discussion. It just, it's beyond my experience, I can tell you that, that a very wealthy man would be on websites picking up hookers and whatever. You know what I mean? You can meet women on websites, I understand that, but the cat is, I mean, look at this boat. Woo! Here's a guy's boat. I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, you can't see it because I've been beating the hell out of this copy.
You've been beating what?
I've been beating the copy.
Mr. Henry.
Would you filth file that?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What are you filth filing?
Phil, you're talking about beating your copy. She's naturally going to go there.
Beating the copy. Anyway, that's a really nice boat. So he went on this dating website, seekingarrangements.com, which according to the website is for sugar daddies and sugar babies seeking mutually beneficial relationships and arrangements. Well, she's a hooker, man, so that's, you know.
Well, what's the difference?
I don't know what I mean, you know what? If this cat met this woman and she goes and they have sex and he's given her dresses and jewelry and he buys her a car, this and that, I suppose it's all good, you know, because that's what a wealthy man would do for a woman who is, you know, enjoying herself with him and expects to be, you know, to enjoy the, you know, the life of being with a rich guy. I mean, look at guys have money, women have sex. That's the name of the game, right? But I mean, so what's the line between that and a prostitute?
She admits, she said she's an admitted prostitute from Georgia. Now, the high-end part is the part that has us befuddled. There's no such thing as a high-end prostitute from Georgia.
Margaret.
No, there is no such thing. Now, you said, from Atlanta, yes. Georgia, no. Atlanta, yes. Georgia, no. I believe that she is from Georgia and tried to gussy herself up, to use a southern term, to look as if she has it going on, right? So she said high-end, but you can't get around the fact she's from Georgia. And excuse me for being overly dramatic and overly caricature-like there, ladies and gentlemen, but I think that needs to be said.
Well, I'd say Georgia.
Because we're talking about Gone with the Wind here. We're talking about the hoop skirt. We're talking about crapping into a coffee can.
Margaret, we're not talking about anything but your weird worldview. Now, can I finish?
Oh, yes, sir.
Thank you.
God.
Well, Margaret, the guy's trying to say something. You've been talking about shitting into a coffee can here for the last half hour.
I've said it three times. I'm trying to get people to understand how it was. God!
How it was for who, Margaret?
For those of us who at one time lived that grand old life. And now, yes, I'm still married, this time to a wealthy man. But as I grew up, Phil, I grew up in those marvelous old times when people had money but also didn't have enough in the way of brains. I never raised a hoop skirt and squatted over a night soil pot. But I do know girls that did.
You know something? Stop, stop, stop.
Phil.
No, stop, stop, stop. None of this is making any sense. I don't know what you took for, you know, your antidepressants today.
How dare you tell people I'm on meds?
Ain't you?
Yes, but you're not allowed to say that.
Well, I don't know what you took. But you're going way, way out there now.
Now, Margaret, I've got to tell you, you started out with crapping into a coffee can.
I meant a night soil pot. God almighty. They used to use coffee cans.
What's that got to do with anything?
What an asshole. Oh.
Geez, that's too bad, Phil.
Well, what are you people? Oh, look at this.
Come on, let's go play checkers.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Now, that's a euphemism, Mr. Henry. For a blowjob.
How dare... Hey! Kick his head!
Get what you shouldn't have said to...
Get out of there, all of you. Out, 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 out.
Phil, I want to see...
Get out! An euphemism for blowjob.
Well, Mr. Henry, I mean, you knew that was coming.
No, I didn't know that was coming. All of a sudden, we're in a discussion about coffee cans shitting into them, lifting up hoop skirts, and an euphemism for blowjob.
What was?
Margaret, you're not allowed to talk until the next break. What was he talking about?
They were talking about going and playing checkers. And a general said, I heard that. And that's when Bud said an euphemism.
Yeah, but what the word is euphemism.
What?
Euphemism.
Yeah.
All right, so kind of quiet. It's nice and peaceful in here when those loud mouths, those motor mouths aren't in here.
How dare you?
Thank you.
You want me to close it all the way?
That's fine. So anyway, excuse me. Getting back here, according to surveillance video obtained by the police from the interior of the yachts from the night in question, Tickleman can be seen allegedly injecting narcotics believed to be heroin into Hayes, who then begins to suffer a medical reaction to the drugs and eventually ceases to continue moving. What? Surveillance video obtained by police from the interior of the yacht. She's injecting this guy. What world is this, man? Tickleman then proceeded to allegedly clean up the scene of the crime by staging the area and destroying evidence. She was so callous in gathering her things, she was literally stepping over the body at one point, stepping over the body to grab a glass of wine and finish the glass of wine in the process of this, all the while the victim is dying at her feet. Well, maybe she thought the guy was just, you know, OD'd or something. I don't know. She showed no regard for the victim. She showed no attempt to try to render aid or to get aid there to assist him. Well, you take a look at this woman. She does look kind of psychopathic. Now, what's the upshot of this?
Man, I don't know, man. Maybe she just thought she'd just rip him off and get out of it.
This is not a bright person. This is not a bright person. This is a psychopath, but that doesn't mean you got to be smart to be a psychopath. That means you're a psychopath. Psychopaths, like we said, they're so ego-driven. And why do I say psychopath? People are probably saying, oh, everybody's a psychopath with you, Phil. No, we're talking about somebody who's so callous they're stepping over the body. They have no regard. Showing no regard for the victim means showing no empathy. Showing no empathy is a major, major, major marker for a psychopathic personality. They're unable. It isn't that you don't want to have empathy. You're unable to have it. Police were able to successfully identify her as a suspect based on information obtained that showed that she'd had an ongoing prostitute-client relationship with Hayes. Santa Cruz police, during their investigation, even learned of another similar death outside California that Tickleman allegedly was involved with, or Titchelman, which further rose suspicion about her. Authorities have not released details of that particular crime, as she has not been charged in that case. I think this chick is down for the count, man.
Yeah, she's down for the count, all right. Man, they're gonna take a walk on the last mile.
Well, I mean, the death penalty, don't worry about it. California? No. No death penalty here. We do not have the death penalty in California. We say we do, but we don't. Initially, Santa Cruz police... Okay. Upon arrival, she was met by police who arrested her. What happened here? Okay. Initially, Santa Cruz police tried to lure Titchelman back to Santa Cruz County by setting up a modeling gig, but it was going to take us too long to make it a believable scenario, said Clark. So instead, detectives set up a $1,000 for sex sting operation online to lure her into making a date. Eventually, she was convinced in a meeting with the wealthy client at a high-end hotel in Santa Cruz County on the 4th of July. Upon arrival, she was met by police who arrested her and brought her in for questioning. During the interview, Titchelman boasted about having more than 200 client relationships. Yeah, she's trying to get the power back, man. She's busted by the cops because she was dumb. But that's not the end of it for a psychopath. They're always trying to get the upper hand. They're always trying to get the control back. So she sits back down in the interrogation room, and she's going to try and get the control back. Say, well, I got 200 clients, you know, and maybe I got information that you schmucks don't have. Well, you flat feet, no brain, no count cops.
Yeah, you dumb, stupid cop.
Yeah. On the social media front, Titchelman doesn't hide her twisted potential, as her social media posts range from poems about heroin. My eyes are red, 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 combination of the glitter eyeliner and the medical grade I've been smoking on, to a love of the serial killer, Dexter. Clark, when asked about whether or not the incident was intentional or not, said the evidence showed a level of guilt that reached second-degree murder rather than involuntary manslaughter.
Well, they call it slaughter?
I was going to call it involuntary slaughter, but that's...
Why don't they call it that?
Because... It was a man she slaughtered, and not, like, cows or sheep.
Involuntary sheep slaughter.
There ain't no such thing as involuntary sheep slaughter. Robert, it's just manslaughter. Clark was adamant that Titchelman supplied the lethal drugs to Hayes and thus was ultimately responsible for his death. She showed absolutely no regard for this person she injected with heroin. She had a responsibility to provide some life-saving effort. She's a douchebag and a scumbag. She's held on $1.5 million bail. Good luck on that. Mr. Hayes is survived by his wife of 17 years and his five children. Nice going, pal. I don't know whether the guy was separated or not. All right, one more story, and one that I like. One that's kind of a fun story. What's right up my alley.
What's the upshot on the...
No, we want back in.
What?
We want back in.
You'll get back in after the break. What?
What's the upshot on that Titchelman?
The upshot on her is that she's arrested, that she looks guilty as hell because the cops say they have surveillance video of her injecting this guy, that he died or at least looked incapacitated on video as she was stepping over this guy drinking a wine. Maybe she had been injecting heroin into so many clients that she thought, well, this dude's nodding off, but he's not going to die. Although, you know, it's not exactly a great situation. So, yeah, it's a strange and...
it's a strange world.
Coming back on a world-famous Phil Henry show with what happened to the very first Fortune 500 companies. You remember when the Fortune 500 started in 1955? Oh, you don't? Neither do I, but... we'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry show.
I'm Margaret Gray, and you're the... Yes, that's right, I'm back in the studio. Is that all right with you, Daddy?
Yeah, it's fine.
I'm Margaret Gray. I'm going to keep getting up and going out and taking a you-know-what. And no, you can't keep me out of the studio, Phil, because I've just talked to David G. Well,
David G. Hall doesn't run things anymore.
I'm Margaret Gray. You're listening to the world-famous Phil. You'll not forget it.
I've mentioned this, you know, because I'm such a self-effacing guy. I mean, seriously, tomorrow night at 10 on Marin, you'll see me, Phil Henry, featured in an episode of Marin. And I don't want to give away the plot or anything like that, but it's about my character. And it's a very familiar character. I play in a radio episode, and that's where that's at. But it was a great day, a couple of days, 3 days. I forget how many days we shot there with the Marin crew. Great bunch of folks. Mark himself is a wonderful guy, and we thank them very, very much for the opportunity. So tomorrow night at 10 on IFC, Thursday night at 10 Pacific Eastern, and all that on the independent film channel IFC Marin. Starring Mark Maron and co-starring yours or featuring yours truly. Jim Ladd is also in the episode, as is our great close personal friend, Fraser Smith. So it's a lot of fun. And what I like about the episode, if nothing else, is, and when I say if nothing else, what I like about the episode, because I'm in it, that's no great shakes, but...
Oh, Phil, stop it. I thought that you were I haven't seen it, but I thought that you were very good.
What do you mean you haven't seen it, but you thought he was very good?
I haven't seen it, but I'm thinking maybe when you went out that day and went to the set, that you did well.
Yeah, okay. Whatever that means.
What the hell are you talking about?
Just what I said, thank you.
All right. Well, I put my all into every job, and come what may. But we had a lot of fun, and again, I thank Mark for the opportunity. So tomorrow night at 10 on IFC... Phil Henry, your pal here on Marin. And there are appearances by our friends Jim Ladd, longtime legendary Los Angeles FM disc jockey, and a cat who now is on Sirius FM, or Sirius XM himself, as a matter of fact. If you want to listen to his show, I haven't heard Jim's show on Sirius XM. Have you?
Yes, it's a wonderful trip through the history of of classic rock, if you will, from the 60s on to the present. And Jim does a phenomenal job of introducing these songs, introducing new generations to this music.
And then Fraser Smith, who is all over the place as a comic, television personality, and so forth, one of the great, great morning people that we've had in Los Angeles radio down through the years. The Fraser Smith Show on KLOS in the 80s was a must-listen show. And so much of what Fraser came up with on his show was, I've got to just come right out and say, was just lifted commercially by a number of different companies. The most notable of Party Animal. You remember that Party Animal dog they had on Budweiser?
Yeah, I mean, a party animal like a... Yeah, Spuds McKenzie.
Spuds McKenzie, the party animal, yeah.
What about him?
Fraser Smith invented that term, party animal. That's what his... they used to talk about on the show all the time. And, you know, a lot of cats... Radio is a very fertile ground for television to steal ideas. Now, look, you can say what you want. You can say, well, it's a good idea. We're going to use it. That's fine. But what you're doing is you're, you know, you haven't got the idea. Somebody else did. You're lifting it, and you're applying it to the medium that you're working in. Advertising in particular is, I mean, it doesn't get much lower than sitting there in your ad agency. You haven't had a good idea in years. You're sitting there with your thumb parked up your ass and your little fake basketball net and all that stuff that we saw in all those TV shows that those jackasses do. And then the next thing you know, you hear some guy on the radio talking about Party Animal. Hey, I just think I'll... I just invented that. So anyway, that's just an interesting story from the days of yore. So, Fraser, you'll see Fraser, and you'll see Jim Ladd and myself tomorrow night on Marin at 10 on IFC. What happened to the first Fortune 500?
Now, these are the companies that were originally listed, right?
Yes, these are the original Fortune 500 companies from 1955.
Right. The first ever Fortune 500 was published in 1955. Today, of course, we know the Fortune 500 as the sterling, the platinum list of successful companies. So what Fortune magazine did is they took a look back at their first Fortune 500 class. And 60 years later, they say, we look back at where the companies from the head of the class, Fortune 500 companies 1 through 10, with revenues ranging from $1.7 to $9.8 billion that year, are now. Some know, is that $1.7 billion in American dollars? I mean, not American, in modern dollars?
No, yes.
Anyway,
no, I think that would be from the, back in the, what do you call it, the 50s.
Anyway, where are those companies now? Some no longer exist. Some exist by another name and or as shadows of their former corporate selves, and some still stand today as the biggest names in corporate America. The number one company on the Fortune 500 list in 1955 was...
I don't know.
General Motors.
Well, you talk about a company that's been through hell and back.
Yeah, they have. The car company certainly hit rocky roads in more recent times, but despite declaring bankruptcy and getting bailed out by Uncle Sam in 2009, not to mention those recalls, it's still riding high at number 5. Since its debut, GM has owned and parted with, among other things, Saab, Hummer, and the Electronic Data Systems Corporation. It's never ranked below 15 on the 500, where it fell in 2010. General Motors. Number 2 in 1955 was, right where we left it, the oil giant, then known as Jersey Standard, debuted on the first ever Fortune 500 at number 2. The company, which became Exxon Corporation in 1972 and Exxon Mobil in 1999, has never fallen before number 4 on the 500. It's never fallen below number 4 in the 500. There was also in 1999, though the company's ugliest moment probably came a decade earlier with the Exxon Valdez oil spill in Alaska's Prince William Sound. It was also number 4 in 1999. So Mobil is at number 2, I think, today, and it was number 2 in 1955. The number three biggest company in America in 1955 on the Fortune 500 was U.S. Steel. No surprise here, the American steel industry isn't what it used to be, and neither is U.S. Steel. The company, which booked $3.25 billion in revenues when it debuted in 1955 at number three, now ranks with revenues at $17.4 billion, 166. 166.
So those are $1,955 dollars.
Yes, yes. Forgive me. So $3.2 billion made it the number three company in America in 1955. With $17.4 billion, it now ranks at 166. For a number of years, the company was diversified in chemicals and gas and went by the name USX. It spun off Marathon Oil and became U.S. Steel again in the year 2002. But it is 166 from a drop all the way from number three at 55. Number four on the 1955 Fortune 500 list, General Electric. Well, they're still in the top 10 in the year 2014, from the jet age to the electric toaster to nuclear power, GE has been a mainstay in American industry and on the Fortune 500. After several years of concerted slimming down, the industrial juggernaut dropped to number 9 this year. It's never been rated lower than number 11, which it did at several points in the early 1980s. Once so diversified, it was a 30-rock joke. GE has jettisoned NBC Universal and shrunk its financial arm, GE Capital, in recent years. GE Capital gave the company a close call during the financial crisis. Warren Buffett supplied the company emergency cash at the time. Now, what's interesting about this, guys, if you're listening carefully, you realize if you're a novice at the stock game, you see the companies that are blue chip and that are consistent winners and that are probably always going to be consistent money makers if you're interested in, you know, playing that end of the financial carousel, you know.
Well, you're talking about, geez, I don't know, you know, these guys, you talk about like a U.S. Steel right there, see right there.
Yeah, U.S. Steel was number three, now 166. I lose my rear end in that one.
Well, Bud, no offense, but you'd probably lose your rear end if you invested, if you bought into the Saudi Arabia, you know, I can't.
Yeah, you're doing bad this morning, Margaret.
Shut up.
Hey. Number five, Esmark. Ever heard of them?
What?
Esmark, that's right. Number five is a company called Esmark, a name not to have graced the pages of Fortune for many years. It was a Chicago conglomerate which owned Max Factor, which is the cosmetics company, Avis Rental Car, Swift Meatpacking, Tropicana, the Chicago White, before being acquired by Beatrice Foods Company, another Chicago conglomerate, in 1984. So Beatrice, bought by ConAgra in 1990, was the company that took over Esmark.
How about that? And Beatrice was a company that had a black CEO, and they said that during the Olympics and all of that.
Yeah, I remember Beatrice was all over the Olympics in terms of advertising in 1984. Remember, we're Beatrice. Well, in 1990, ConAgra bought Beatrice, and Beatrice was the company that acquired Esmark, and Esmark was a very diversified company at that time. Cosmetics, Avis Rental, Swift Meatpacking, etc. Number six in 1955 was Chrysler. As one of America's big three car companies, Chrysler is now owned by Italian automotive company Fiat SPA, S-P-A, SPA, which, how do you say that?
That's Fiat Spa. Spa. Spiala.
What?
I know the Italian. Hold on. That is Fiat de Spa.
Yeah, Fiat de Spa.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, really? And you speak Italian?
No, and neither do you, Margaret. Which, with the U.S. Government, came to its rescue during the financial crisis. Chrysler had hit potholes before. The company was bailed out by Congress in 81. Things subsequently improved for the company, which had hit with the minivan. It had a big hit with the minivan. That was back in the Lee Iacocca days. Remember that?
Lee Iacocca. Boy, I'll tell you, there is an American hero right there.
Lee Iacocca was the guy that took over Chrysler and got that loan from Congress and really kicked that company back upstairs. It later bought American Motor Company in 1985 and was bought by German car company Daimler-Benz in 2007. So I don't know where Chrysler is today. It is one of America's big three, but it has hit those potholes. All right, number seven company in 1955 was Armor. Any kid from the 50s or 60s remembers those Armor Spam?
Oh, my God.
Right. Armor was a Chicago-based meatpacking company that provided fodder for Upton Sinclair's industry expose, The Jungle. Armour's business had peaked before it debuted at number 7 on the Fortune 500 in 1955, though the company found success with Dial, a deodorant soap, the first of its kind, made from a byproduct of the meatpacking process. Oh, my God.
Holy cow, are you trying to tell me?
No, I'm not saying that, however. I didn't know that. So, okay.
Daddy did, on account of the Nazi.
Yeah, will you shut up? So, anyway, the Dial, a deodorant soap made from a byproduct of the meatpacking process, the company would never again rank so high. Armour was sold, or excuse me, get a load of this. Armour was bought by Greyhound.
What?
Yeah, the bus company, in 1970. Its assets have since been split and sold many times to companies including Revlon, Forest Laboratories, and ConAgra. Pinnacle Foods now owns Armour brand meat products. Dial Corporation is owned by German company Henkel. German Henkel, by the way, made a bomber which dropped ordnance and bombs on England during World War II.
Yay!
How come nobody... Why don't you boycott them, man, you know?
Well, Phil, you're not going to boycott every war industry. It was those aspects of the war industry that, relative to woo-woo, the torture and the internment of human beings. You're talking about Bayer Aspirin?
Well, yeah, I'm talking about Bayer and some of those companies. All right, number 8 was Gulf Oil. Number 8 was Gulf Oil in 1955, the company that brought the world its first ever drive-in gas station.
Are you kidding me? What does that mean, drive-in gas station? What other kind of gas station was there?
And later pioneered the concept of free restrooms. I don't know. This was you drove into the gas station, I guess. How did you get gas in the old days?
I guess you just had to go and buy it and put it in yourself.
That's what you do now. What are you talking about?
Well, maybe you had to buy it by the big bucket or something. You know, get a can of it and bring it. I don't know. But the first drive-in gas station was 1913, and that was Gulf, number 8 on the Fortune 500's 1955 list. They later pioneered the concept of free restrooms. Wow.
Well, when it comes to gas stations, Gulf's pretty good then.
Yeah, the only problem with Gulf is they don't know
What's wrong?
Hold on. They don't know how to drill. Well, see, I shouldn't...
What?
My wife, Patsy, listens... Filth file it, will you?
Yes, I will. They don't know how to drill. Filth file that.
Yes, ma'am.
Is your wife now getting in on this kick?
Patsy didn't like me saying something about drill. They don't know how to drill for oil, and they spilled all the oil all over the good God greed, the goddamn...
No, that was BP. You blew that one big time. Wow.
Why don't you filth file that?
What?
I blew it.
Hey, listen, your lips, not mine.
All right.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Oh, there goes the general, and there goes... Boy, it's a Monday. It's the Phil Hendry Show. We know that we're on track when everybody's walking out on us, and look at the sweat stains on my shirt.
God, Mr. Hendry, y'all sweat look like an animal.
Mr. Hendry, he's sweating like a pig.
That's right. All right, number 9 was Mobil, and number 10 is DuPont. I'm sorry, we don't have any more time to go through any of this. What we do, I could make the time, because nobody tells me what to do, but I'm bored with the topic. And quite frankly, I'm done with this show today. Tomorrow, we'll be back bigger and better than ever. I thank you all. I'd like to thank Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, and, of course, General Galen Shaw. General, thank you.
Yeah, whatever.
And, of course, we want you all to join us as Backstage Pass members at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. I will tell you that there is no better value anywhere on the Internet other than porn. That's a promise from me to you. So, you know, check it out. PhilHenryShow.com. That's PhilHenryShow.com. What are we going to close the show out with here on the this Wednesday, bud?
I'm going to go over here to Jeezy or something like that.
To Jeezy? All right, here is Jeezy. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning at 8:30 for the pre-show. If you're a Backstage Pass member, call us at that time. You are automatically qualified for our drawing at the end of the month for free tickets to the Phil Hendry Show, a sold-out show at the Hollywood Improv on the 30th of July.
Then blow it all in magic. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Phil Hendry for Siepre Incorporated, all rights reserved on the Sideshow Network.
When it's step don't make it hard to sell. When you been where I've been, make it hard to fail. Cause I'm the realest nigga in this. Y'all know a curse nigga hit magic in that 645. Valley say jizzle nigga stand new shit, but everybody back, cause that nigga can't drive. Doors open up, I merge with 10 chains. Even back then, it was calling me 10 chains. Ask me what I spend, I tell them it's no thing. If I had it added up, it'd cost me like 10 things. We used to take a little show money, just throw money. If it's on the flow, nigga, it's the flow money. If you brought it out to blow, when you got it from the blow, then that's why the fuck they call it shit blow money. Still the realest nigga in this.
fuck that shit, young nigga, get paid. Then I whip the Benzo on the Renzo. Stay down, nigga, yeah, I'm talking 10 toes. Posted me in this big pretty motherfucker, better leave the parking lot with a bitch. What you know about thumbing through the 120s and the 50s, spending 10s and the 5s at the mall? Yeah.
2020 Pyrex vision. Catch a contact standing next to my kitchen. Hit a 2050 hundreds, the money machine clicking in my rolling game, taking our bow.
I done seen it all.
Uncle died on the spot. Pop killed the family with heroin shots.
Real shit.
Real shit. Gave my life to the block. Figure I get shot, at least I die on top.
Real shit. Real shit.
I came alive in the drop. Big body, all white shit. Looked like a yacht.
Real shit. Real shit.
Got a 5 when the pop. Had a plug in St. Thomas on a trillion watts.
Real shit.
Flew him back to the States. Parked 92 bricks in front of 560 State. Now the next is stone throw from where I used to throw bricks. So it's only right I'm still tossing around nicks. Probably bought your auntie a couple bags. I probably front your uncle a couple halves. Was in the S-class, you was just in class. You knew I was finna blow like a meth lab. Expanded the operation out of Maryland. Me and Emery Jones in the caravan. Took the show on the road out in VA. Dropped a couple off with Roller in the PA. Plug got shot, we start slowing up. Took a trip down there to see how he was holding up. The war's on now, he got shot again. This time he was gone for good, then we got it in. Emery got knocked, we was down 10. The whole team, hot wars closing in. Niggas can't tell me shit about this dope gang, about this cocaine, man.
I done seen it all. Yeah, stack 7 feet tall. Swear it look white like a wall. What you know about thumbing through the 120s and the 50s, spending 10s and the 5s at the mall. I done seen it all.
2020 Pyrex vision. Catch a contact standing next to my kitchen. Hit a 2050 hundreds, the money machine clicking in my rolling game, taking our bow.
I done seen it all.